May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 139. 139. My shepherd will supply my need. Jehovah is his name. In pastures fresh he makes me feed beside the living stream. Hymn number 139.
Thank you. Read together for the most holy word of God. Firstly, Psalm 77. Psalm 77, then we'll turn to Zechariah's prophecy and read chapter 13. But firstly, Psalm 77. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favourable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And turning to Zechariah's prophecy, and reading the 13th chapter there. Zechariah chapter 13. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live. For thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am an husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I'll turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us those portions of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most kind and gracious God, once more thou hast spared us to gather in thy courts this Sabbath evening, not having dealt with us according to our sins, but in wrath thou hast remembered mercy. And we're still upon praying ground. The day of grace has not ended, and the door of mercy is not closed. But all that might be brought each this night, what a mercy if it should be, sir, as those beggars pour at mercy's door, lies such a wretch as I, feelingly so that we're nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores because of sin. Sin, original sin. And when we look over unworthy lives, what sinners we have been, in our own right, if we can put it in that way, what we have added to that account that testifies against us. And we're brought in there, are we not, truly bankrupt, and all to be brought there as bankrupt sinners, hell-deserving sinners, brought to cry to thee for mercy, knowing what it is to smite upon the breast and cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. O Lord, we plead then, take us each in hand, eternity before us. We have those reminders, and we've had those reminders of the frailty of life and the brevity of life, that there is that which is before us each, an eternity. An eternity with all its unnumbered years. And all we might be brought to number our days, and to realise that even if we are spared to many years here upon the earth, there is nothing compared to eternity. Oh, to be prepared for that day. Prepare for that day. And so as we have those reminders, solemn reminders, may that bring about in our very souls this cry, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. For thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. And so we plead, do have mercy upon us, each as we've gathered this night. Those who are here in the earlier part of the day, Lord, young in the midst of life or older, Lord, leave us not. Leave us not to that way which may seem right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But all to be found in that day, shut in with Christ, that place of safety. Like Noah and his family in that day, they were shut in by Almighty God into that ark. But all to be shut in with Christ, shut in there, bound up in that covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And to be found in that day, clothed upon with that robe of thy righteousness, and washed in thy precious and atoning blood. Oh, may we be found yet, each one of us, as mourners in Zion, mourning over our sins and after thee. Ah, may we be brought even like those Greeks of old, with that desire, sirs, we would see Jesus. Leave us not then to just the satisfaction perhaps of our natural mind and conscience of our attendance upon the means of grace. But all, they might be brought to that give me Christ. Give me Christ, or else I die. Brought to that need as a sinner and longing for thee to speak and say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And so to remember us we plead, and we thank thee that we have the means of grace. We have the open word, and we can gather around it. But we're dependent upon the Spirit to take us in hand and work mighty in the heart, to change the heart, to renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. And dost thou not say in thy word, marvel not when I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Oh, ye must be born again. Ah, born of the Spirit, quickened by the Spirit. Ah, we plead then, do quicken us by thy almighty power, by the blessed Spirit. May we, yes, be brought to desire thee, one whom we saw no beauty in thee, one whom we once likewise despised and rejected, but all to be brought there to desire thee and to long for thee. We read, do we not, in the Song of Solomon, draw me and we'll run after thee, that one black but comely, what a mercy. The foulest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Oh, there is no other way whereby a poor sinner must be saved, but it is in and through that which Christ hath wrought, as the Lamb of God once slain. It is in and through that which, the eternal Son, in that condescension, when he condescended to be a man and die. And so there was that done in the sinner's room place instead. For he knew no sin, but made under the law, was made under the law to satisfy it in the church's room place instead. Oh, and gave his life as a ransom for many. Ah, yes, and we read, even as regards the worst of sinners, where sin abounded, as the apostle in his epistle to the Romans, and it is the word of God, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And it is unto the chief of sinners, is it not? The most deep died, the Marys and the Manassas. And may it please him, even unto one or another, and each one here, if it could be thy will, Ah, yes, as they feel themselves likewise to be the chief of sinners, but make known unto them the wonders of thy redemption, of thy salvation. Reveal thyself to them as that one precious indeed. Reveal thyself to them as that one that truly did satisfy the law and all that it demanded. Yes, the law demands utmost obedience, which we haven't, for we were conceived in sin. But the Son of God, one verily God, verily man, sinless, pure, undefiled, but bore the sin of many, and so did bear the sword of divine justice, and it pleased the Father, And so we plead then, do reveal thyself to one or another. Always of that desire in the heart of one or another. They long for thee to be revealed to them as their hope of glory. Oh, may they plead on and do hasten that time when thou wilt say unto their soul, I am thy salvation. Once again, do remember the dear young ones here, from the youngest that gather. Ah, yes, and we look upon them, and what a dark and evil day in which their lot is cast. But, oh, we know, and what a mercy. Thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thou art that place of safety for thy people. And thou would ever be the refuge of thy people. And thou would ever be that sure standing and firm foundation for the church of God. And as we quoted, I believe, this morning, yea, what a mercy. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. All the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But all we see, the tide of wickedness and of evil men. And yet we rejoice in this. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Ah, it's a place of safety. For thou art king. And thou dost reign there. And what a mercy as regards the church in this dark and evil day. And it shall be to the generations that follow. May it please thee. Might be a comfort even to the young here. For thou hast said in thy word, hast thou not, that thou, as regards Zion, over which thou art the king and rules there, has that regard for the inhabitants of Zion, because thou hast loved them with an everlasting love. Thou hast said thou would abundantly bless Zion's provision and satisfy her poor with bread. And so may it please thee, the younger generation here, there is that which is a promise that shall not fail. And so whether they may be found amongst the twos and the threes or the ones and the twos, they and are found amongst those needy ones, those poor trembling worm Jacobs, the fearful, fearful worm Jacobs. Thou would abundantly bless Zion's provision and satisfy her poor with bread. So to remember the young, we plead. Remember them as they grow up and go on into life. Go before them, we plead. But may there be a seeking first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness. And prove that all these other things shall be added unto you. Lord, we look back to our younger years, childhood and youth and young manhood. And yes, was that which we sought for. And we look back now, and there were those times and seasons when we can look back now and see it was kept by the power of God. May they prove also that in those hours of temptation, and they will find one that will rise up against them, as we read concerning Satan this morning. He goes about to and fro in the earth, and he goes about seeing whom he may devour. Oh, may they prove in the hours of temptation, Satan may stir up one or another to try and get this one or that one to fall, as we proved it in our younger years. And yes, we felt we were on that in that miry clay that day, and thou didst put forth thy mighty hand and drew us out of that place. And we can only say now, kept by the power of God. We had no power of ourselves, but the enemy, that foe, seemed to threaten to devour and threaten to bring us into disgrace, but by the power of God, brought out. And so may they likewise prove in their day and generation, kept by the power of God. So did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. Oh, how Satan is subtle in some ways and others, like the roaring lion. But oh, keep them, Lord, we plead. Keep them, guard them, guide them, and protect them. And Lord, remember parents as they have that responsibility. And what a responsibility it is. Lord, do grant them that help to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Give them wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Lord, do help them every day, every moment of the day. Enable them to answer those questions that no doubt will arise. And more so as time goes on, as we see evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse. And the flood of iniquity seems to now rush down our streets. Lord, do help them, we plead. And once again, those in the midst of life, whether it is with the families or otherwise, there is that providential path, that path which thy people thou hast ordained for them. And at times it is with great difficulties and trials and tribulations and things hard to be understood, and perhaps wondering at times where the scene will end. But oh, may they prove thee to be a God of providence and a God of grace, a God for time and a God for eternity. May they prove that thou art that one. Ah, yes, the gold and silver are thine. Thou didst create them. Man has the use of them, but thou didst create them, and they are at thy disposal. The gold and silver are thine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills, and thou art able to supply thy people's needs according to thy riches in glory. Yes, all their needs, and thou canst supply them abundantly. And sometimes we can look back and see those times of abundant help when thou didst truly appear. Ah, and thou didst wonderfully supply all our needs according to our riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so remember each one. Remember those in the even time of life. They feel the mud-walled cottage shake. Go to them where they are, and perhaps they're now in the homes or in their own homes or wherever it may be, looked after by loved ones perhaps. Lord, go to them and be unto them those everlasting arms, the God of Jeshurun. That one that they proved in time past, that has not forsaken them, not cast them off, not left them to the hand of the enemy, being better to them than all their fears. Ah, may they prove the promise still to be true down to the end of their days. For he hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And remember those in their afflictions. Lord, we plead for one another. Ah, yes, there are many in affliction, some younger, some very young, and some in the midst of life, and some in the even time of life. And all we plead thy, that thou wouldst sanctify the path and sweeten all the pain. May there be proving yet that it is amongst those all things that work together for good, to them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. Our afflictions, our natural mind doesn't like it, our afflictions and difficulties. Oh, it's quite grievous to our flesh, is it not? But all we trust we can say and have been able to say in time past, it's good that I was afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. And when we've been brought into affliction's path, we've learned more of our wretched self and more of a precious Christ. Oh, but it's only when it is sanctified. We've known those times also when we've kicked against these things, like the bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. And we know in those times when, like even the apostle of old, that which was ordained for him, and was it not unto him a painful path, the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan sent to buffet him? And he pleaded, did he not, thrice, that it might be removed from him? And that's how we are by nature. We want these things removed as soon as they can be. And we don't want to be walking in that path. But all we have to prove, like the apostle, there's a need be. And with the apostle, he was brought to see this, lest he should be exalted above measure. There was that needs be in that way, and perhaps like the ballast is necessary for a ship to keep it steady. We could soon become lifted up with pride and self. But those times and seasons are most needful. Oh, may we see what they're for, and even come even like the apostle. He was brought to see it. Yes, brought to see it, lest he should be exalted above measure. But may we prove it is necessary. All is ordered and all things ensure. All must come and last and end, as shall please our heavenly friend. But what did he prove? Yes, it was not to be taken from him, or not at that time anyway. Whether it was at some stage in his life, we know not. But he was to prove this. The answer was, my grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so we plead then, those in their afflictions and trials and difficulties and things hard to be understood. Oh, may they prove that abundant grace that sustains them, upholds them, gives them strength sufficient, enables them to go on, not looking to weak self, but looking alone unto Jesus. Go on waiting upon thee. Yes, waiting upon thee. And so may it please thee then. May we prove like the hymn writer, there's a fullness that resides in Jesus our head, that ever abides to answer our need. Yes, and even to uphold us under that which the flesh dislikes. Yes, the flesh may dislike the way, but may faith approve it well. And do remember, Lord, we plead, thy one true church, both here and elsewhere. We live in a day when there is a falling away. We live in a day when many would like to broaden the path. And we live in a day when, where is he asking after the old paths? And like we read in Jeremiah's prophecy, ask ye after the old paths. And they said, we will not. We will not. But all to be found asking after the old paths and seeking that grace and to walk in them, and to walk in that narrow way which leadeth unto life. And so we plead, do remember Zion, strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. And all that has been attended to in the earlier part of the day, perhaps in the morning and the afternoon, and perhaps a reading service here and a reading service there. Lord, we seek thy blessing upon it. And may thy word go forth in the power of the Spirit and accomplish that whereto thou hast sent it. Oh, accomplish that whereto thou hast sent it. But all we plead then this night, that those that go forth to labour in thy name, such as oneself here, we have need of thee. Lord, our sufficiency must not be of man or of ourself, it must be of thee. Oh, may we prove that it is so, and we feel to be such an empty vessel. Lord, we have no stock or store, but we plead that thou wouldest give that door of utterance. And may it please you, this one, as well as those that gone forth in the little hills of Zion, even this evening hour, and give them that strength in the inner man. Yes, and also that natural strength sufficient. Lord, we plead then, do bless Zion. And we thank thee that thou hast maintained unto us thy word in its entirety, and thou hast maintained us even thus far, that we can gather without the fear of man or authority. None can lawfully make us afraid. We thank thee for it. But oh, may it please thee, and may we each given the hearing ears and the hearts of understanding. And Lord, even the one that speaks, we might likewise hear that for the good of our own soul. Lord, muzzle not the ox, we read, when he treadeth out the corn. So do satisfy us each, we plead, with thy goodness, and send none empty away. And once again, we would not be unmindful of those that mourn. Comfort them, we plead. Oh, go to them where they are. Comfort them with that comfort which only thou canst give. And so may it please thee through these things, if it could be thy will, there might be that awakening in one or another. Ah, yes, that these things might be the means of bringing one into that soul concern. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? How is it whilst life shall last? And how will it be when called to die? Oh, we plead then, do remember us now. Favour us, we plead, with thy presence. Break the bread of life unto us. And now we seek them for the pardon of every sin. And all we've asked amiss, and where we've failed in our asking, do be pleased to make up in giving. We plead for Christ's sake, and his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 1085. 1085. Hence, vain intruding world, depart. No more allure nor vex my heart. Let every vanity be gone. I would be peaceful and alone. Hymn 1085.
seeking once again the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn back to that of this morning, Psalm 11. Psalm 11 and the fifth verse. As I said, especially the first part of it, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Psalm 11, verse 5. The Lord trieth the righteous. And now, before I go much further, I turned to Job in the interval. And yes, as I couldn't find that bit this morning that I sought to refer to, that Job, even in that very tried path, which, yes, Satan was given permission, divine permission to touch him. Touch him in all that he had. Touch him in his own body. Yes, and brought him into a very lonely place. A very lonely place. And a dark place. And yet, blessed be God, that grain of living faith. And I turned to it, as I said, in the interval, and it is in the 19th chapter of Job, where he is brought to this. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. He saw that by faith, yes, that should come. And that, although, as we said, though damped his faith, like the Lord's people often find, their faith is damped, it could not die. And there was this glorious prospect still. And I believe that's by the Spirit working within him. And so it comes to this, does it not? Where and what does your faith and mine stand in? Does it stand in the flesh? Something perhaps of our own righteousness? Or a name to live and yet are dead? Oh, how solemn it is if we should come to the end of our days with a religion or a faith. Well, faith in that way, and it's no more than that of the flesh, no more than the strength of your own arm, no more than that of your own wisdom and knowledge and understanding. How will it stand in that trying day? How will it stand in that trying day? But oh, what a mercy of the Lord tries your religion and mine this side of eternity, before that day should come. And it's a mercy indeed if it is so. And I turn to that in Revelation. That solemn, yes, it's a warning and an exhortation. Yes, we know that we don't perhaps refer to them very often. But you read those chapters contain those letters to the churches. And we read this, do we not? Where it was unto the church of the Laodiceans. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Yes, what a solemn thing if our religion is that which stands in the flesh. And is satisfied with a name, Or, yes, that which we perceive of ourselves, self-righteousness. Ah, yes, that self-righteousness, we can soon rise up with that, can we not? And sometimes we look back to those years when we could come even like this. Come not nigh me, for I am holier than thou. But oh, what a mercy if this has been wrought in your heart and mine. Ah, where we're brought to know that we are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And then we read this, do we not? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Gold tried in the fire. Well, we know that the goldsmith, silversmith, those that work in those precious metals, they have to heat them to refine them. And the more they are heated, the more refined they are. Ah, what dross and tin we can see, what we are made up of, what dross and tin there is to be consumed, if only we were to know it and to feel it. Until that is shown to us, we have no knowledge of that dross and tin. Ah, I believe the apostle, as he was Saul, he knew nothing when he went about thinking he did God's service. He knew nothing of that dross and tin that needed consuming. But under grace and that wrought in him, I believe, he knew something of it, that refining work. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And it goes on, does it not? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door. Yes, the door of mercy stands open to the poor and the needy that knock by the way. What a mercy it is. We're still upon praying ground. The day of grace has not ended. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Ah, yes, and then that chapter closes. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with the Father, my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So there is this exhortation. Oh, what does your religion stand in? What does mine stand in? Has it known that refiner's fire? Has it known trials and tribulations? If it comes to the end of our days and it's nothing, nothing has tried it. Ah, what dross and tin there will be still there. So many impurities. And gold with all its impurities is dug out of the ground is not much value to anybody. Only to those that would seek to refine it if they could. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched. So do we know that wretchedness? We've been brought into a path that's brought us to that whereby we've had to say, even like Job, yes, Job was brought to this, was he not? He said, when the Lord spake to him, well, you know what the Lord God said of him in the first place. But Job was brought to this, when the Lord spake, he then said, I am vile. I am vile. Yes, I am vile. And then if I can find the other word also, which he was brought to. And yes, after that trial and tribulation, that path of distressing circumstances, he is brought to see how wretched and poor and ruined and undone he was. And he is brought to this. Ah, yes, you read it in that last chapter. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth a counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. Ah, yes, true repentance and godly sorrow. Ah, yes, you look back perhaps over some of those things which Job uttered. Ah, out of that, well, we cannot fully enter into how Job would have felt. But we each know our heart's own bitterness. We each know those times and seasons when the Lord has brought us into those troubles and trials, permitted them to come. And perhaps you know a little then of what the psalmist declared in that psalm we read. In the day of my trouble. Yes, do you know those days of trouble? Trial of your faith, perhaps not like as Job, none so tried as Job, but each will know those trials and it will be a bitter path to them. As we spake in prayer concerning the Apostle Paul, there was that which was needful for him. Yes, that messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, the thorn in the flesh. And I have thought upon it myself in my own path. Those things which we find distasteful to our flesh would rather not have it. We can come like the apostle, even as he prayed. He sought the Lord thrice that it might be removed from him. Your nature and mine is no different than the apostle. And your nature and mine is no different than those things which perhaps Job may have uttered. Our flesh dislikes a way, but faith must approve it well. And faith will approve it well. But the flesh, the old flesh, will never change. The old flesh, your flesh and mine, will find it rebels against the path which the Lord appoints. Even rebels against that which is for our good. Ah, yes, we know there are those things which we may have to pass through here below. We might not see the reason why this side of eternity. But hereafter each shall know. And I believe it will be declared in that day. It shall come to light in that day. But nothing is appointed, as it were, for no reason. Nothing takes place by chance. All is ordered in all things and sure. And so like Job, yes, he's brought to that, I am vile. Ah, I am vile. But we know that as regards Job, his latter end was better than his beginning. But he's brought to this. I abhor myself. He's brought to see perhaps more of his wretchedness than he'd ever seen before. And more of his vileness than he'd ever seen before. But I believe also he would have seen more of a precious Christ. And the wonders of that plan of salvation. That which is that redemption. That one that truly came. We know that, yes, Job lived by faith, like those patriarchs of old, even as Abraham's we spoke this morning. Job, I believe, died in faith like they did also, like Abraham. In that knowledge of one that was to come. In that knowledge of one that was to redeem. That knowledge of one that was to do all things for his church, his people. As regards their eternity. As regards them as sinners, even the vilest of sinners. But they must be brought to that where they abhor themselves. Our man can may speak of being convinced of sin. And he may speak of this or that as regarding iniquity. But oh, to abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. To be able to say of oneself, I am vile. I am vile. But all, as we said, Job's latter end was better than his beginning. There was that, even as the apostle had to prove in his day then. No doubt, as we said just now, some of those things which Job uttered, we can't point a finger. We can't point a finger at those utterances of Job. But I was not left to curse his God and die. He's not left to charge God foolishly. But all we quoted a bit this morning as regards what he did utter. Well, that chapter 3 after this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born. And the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let the day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Etc. You read that chapter. Well, you read the whole account of Job. Days of darkness and distress are our portion here below. But oh, what a mercy. Even as Job proved, he knoweth it all, he hath appointed it. And so then, like the apostle, you might likewise come there and think, well, I don't want this path, I don't want this trial, I don't want this tribulation, I don't want this affliction, I don't want this thing which is hard to be understood. It goes against my natural thoughts, and so it will. You might come like the apostle then, want it removed as soon as possible. But what do you have to prove? My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Yes, my grace, that sufficiency of the grace of God. There's another portion which came to mind, if I can find it. But what a mercy we read. And did not the apostle pen this? And no doubt because he approved it. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Yes, that which your flesh rests upon, which is no more than of the flesh. That won't stand in the hour of temptation. That won't stand in the hour of tribulation. They won't stand in that trial of faith. But the grace of God unto one, a chosen of God, brought into that way. You'll prove this like the apostle. There hath no temptation taken you such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful, we read. And that's what the child of God will prove, like those saints of old proved, like Job proved, like Abraham proved. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. And listen to this. But will with the temptation, or the trial, the tribulation, the affliction or difficulty, the thing hard to be understood, yes, temptations come in all sorts and forms. It's not just bodily afflictions. Going back to Job, you read his path. You go back to Abraham, you go back to Jacob, and to David, and to the apostle. But all they likewise prove this: God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But, blessed be God, there is this but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. What is that way of escape? Then they cried unto the Lord. There's that looking up, that faith, yes, that little grain of living faith will enable that one to look up. You look unto that one who's able to do for him and has done, as it the Spirit is their remembrancer. Yes, the psalmist Asaph, was it not there that in remembrance, like as we often think of David when Ziklag was burned with fire, and his faith must have been sorely tried that day when he was in that lonely place. But I believe the Spirit was his remembrancer. Ah, yes, and brought to his remembrance his love in time past, those helps in time past. Yes, and as we've heard spoken of today, those, as we heard conversing, there have been that conversing in the interval, those stones of help. What mean ye by these stones? Ah, those stones of help, those Ebenezer stones. I believe the psalmist then knew a little of those Ebenezer stones. I call to remembrance. There's that remembrance. And there was that communing with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. And no doubt looking back to those times past, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Ah, yes, and if we look upon it in that way, what is recorded in the Word of God? The days of old, those saints of old. The Lord didn't leave them to themselves, didn't leave them to their darknesses, didn't leave them to their afflictions, didn't leave them to their troubles, didn't leave them to the hand of the enemy. But blessed be God, even as the apostle, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness, my grace. I call to remembrance my song in the night, I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favourable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And then he said this: this is my infirmity. Or is it your infirmity? Ah, yes, faith at Oeb, unbelief rising up. It's an infirmity, is it not? Unbelief. Yes, and you perhaps find like you're like the disciples of old. Lord, save me, was it not Peter? Save me or I perish. Ah, one moment he had faith. One moment he had that faith to get down over the side of that ship and walk upon those waves to the Lord. When he turned aside for a moment and saw the waves boisterous and billowing, he began to sink. He began to sink. Ah, the Lord didn't leave him to sink. The Lord didn't leave him to sink. And so as we've had that, that chapter this night, what a mercy. What a mercy. Yes, concerning that refining and that refining fire. A third part. Ah, yes. A mercy indeed if we're brought to that, a third part. That chapter begins, as it not, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. But that fountain, is it not also where that one sits and now waits to be gracious? And the voice of thy cry will answer thee. One that knows what sore temptations mean, he has felt the same. One that is able to succour and strengthen. Poor worm Jacob's. Ah, yes, brought into those times of trouble and tribulation. I will bring the third part through the fire. This is the Lord speaking concerning his church, his people. Ah, yes, and that one that says, where is there thy God? Whispers it, perhaps roars it in your ear. Tempts you perhaps even this, there is no hope. There is no God. But I will bring, is not left in the hands of the sinner. Is not left in the, wasn't left in the hands of Job. It wasn't left in the hands of Asaph. It wasn't left in the hands of Abraham. And it's not left in yours either. I will bring. That's the promise. It's the word of God. I will bring. I will bring the third part through the fire. And will refine them as silver is refined. And will try them as gold is tried. And they shall. There is this. Is it not? They shall call. Yes, that way of escape, as the apostle declared of it. This is that place, that way of escape, is that place of safety, that place of refuge. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. Oh, blessed be God, word of the Lord. It is true. It's not like the word of man or the promise of man. What a favour it is when it's made known to one that feels their wretchedness, their utter ruin, their inability. Ah, and certainly in those days of trial and tribulation when their faith is sorely tried, I will hear them. They shall call upon me. They shall call on my name, that name which is above every name. And is it not, the shepherd of the sheep? Ah, yes, they've been brought to hear the voice of the shepherd. And they shall, yes, they shall see this shepherd that goes before them and has gone before them. They shall call on my name, one that has conquered death out in the grave, gained the victory. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. And there was another portion that was also, I believe, in Jeremiah. If I can likewise find it again. But all, yes, we read that in Jeremiah where the children of Israel, the people of Judah and Jerusalem, were taken into captivity because of their sin. And if I can find the portion, if I can lay my eyes upon it again, and perhaps it will not, I will not be able to. But all, it was a sweet portion, and I felt what a wonderful word it is. If I can see it, but there was two portions. I think it was two chapters that were in Jeremiah. May come to my mind later. But all we read there, as regards that third part or that work that the Lord will do, even in chastisement, chastening. No, I can't lay my eyes upon it. I can't lay my eyes upon it at the moment. But perhaps it'll come to my mind later, but the Lord knows. Perhaps we're not to, it's not to be spoken of. But all we know, we're in the Lord's hand in these things. But all that as regards them bringing that third part through the fire. I will bring the third part through the fire and refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name. They shall call on my name, and the promise and the mercy is I will hear them. I will not forsake them. They'll prove that promise. Yes, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. They'll prove that promise in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. For he has said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. It is my people. Yes, they are bought without price. It comes to my mind, almost comes to my mind, but I can't fully lay hold on it. It's the evening hour. But I believe it comes before the 31st chapter, but I can't see the word. But it was a precious portion, and perhaps you'll have to, we'll have to leave it. But all those chastenings of the Lord. here we are. Yes, we read there, do we not? Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord. Neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, all that full end of the wicked. But the worm Jacob's, Jacob I love, have I loved, Esau have I hated. There is a people that shall, yes, they're loved from all eternity. Love from all eternity. But yes, there is even that for them regarding them as sinners. Yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forsaken thee, they seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, and with chastisement of a cruel one. For the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. When thou criest for thine affliction, why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. Yes, the children of Israel, the peoples of Judah and Jerusalem, were taken into captivity because of their sins. And the Lord was going to deal with those nations round about them. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. For I will restore health unto thee, and I'll heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. This is Zion. Yes, and then you'd go on a little further in that 30th chapter. I have loved thee. Thou love with an everlasting love. An everlasting love. Yes, an everlasting love. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favourable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath in anger shut up his tender mercies? Just before we close, our time is just about gone. We've got the ordinance to attend to, but my mind goes to this psalm, and perhaps one or another, they know a little of it. Ah, yes, you perhaps come like this, cast down, well, that Psalm 42. Why art thou cast down on my soul? In those times of trouble and trial, when the Lord hides his face, when there's the darkness of the night and darkness of the day, ah, the temptations of the adversary, a cruel foe that your right hand to resist you, why art thou cast down on my soul? The soul is cast down. The soul is cast down, none to deliver. Why art thou cast down my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh, the mercy of it. Ah, the mercy of it. Yes, much dross and tin to be consumed. Ah, that to which the Lord has purposed, even as the apostle. Ah, yes, lest he should be exalted above measure. Nothing out of place, needed, necessary. I will bring the third part through the fire and refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call upon my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. I believe that will be then manifest, that poor sinner, it's true religion. It's that which is not just something, a notion in the brain or a thought. Ah, this is that which is more than notion. This is that which is known and felt. Ah, the trial of the poor sinner's faith. Ah, but when they're brought to the end of it all, when they're brought to the end of that trial, that tribulation, I will hear them. I will say, this is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Burgess will administer the Lord's Supper after this service. There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Chapman. Mr. Graham Cotting will, God willing, preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Tim Parrish next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 1098. 10, 9, 8. O God of mercy, hear my call, my load of guilt remove, break down this separating wall that bars me from thy love. Hymn 1098.
Thank you.
Oh, dear Lord, do we please to bless that which is of thee. Cover the mantle of thy forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss. And do be pleased to make one with us now as we gather as a little company of sinners around thy table to remember thee. Ah, may it please thee. And make one with us there. Reveal thyself to us there, like thou didst to Mary when she saw the empty tomb. Ah, they might see by faith one whom the grave could not hold, one that had truly conquered death, hell, and the grave, and gained the victory, one that has satisfied the law in every jot and tittle, paid the demand of our debt that poor sinners owe. And what a debt it is, a debt of sin, a debt of iniquity. And the Lord demanded, did he not, death? Demanded the shedding of blood. Oh, one that satisfied it, gave his life a ransom. Lord, we plead then, make one with us there. Do us each good and send none empty away. Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. And do put the new song in the mouth, that we may go on our way rejoicing, rejoicing in thee. And so we plead then, bless us each together. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.